Our gospel today is from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1, verses 9 to 15. In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And just as he was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending like a dove on him. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." And the Spirit immediately drove Jesus out into the wilderness. He was in the wilderness for 40 days, tempted by Satan. And he was with the wild beasts, and the angels waited on him. Now after John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God, and saying, "The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news." This is the gospel of our Lord. Thanks be to God. Please have a seat. Well, grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. One of the programs I used to love to watch when I had that channel was Man vs. Wild with Bear Grylls. Maybe you've heard of him. There's a lot of episodes I discovered now on YouTube, so I'm thinking that is great garage entertainment when I get to be outside in my garage. But a while back, Nicky Gumbel, who was the founder of the Alpha Course in England, had an interview with Bear, and he talked about his life and his faith. He talked about his faith being the secret strength he draws on when times are hard. Now, if you watch the show, he goes out into wilderness situations where, unbelievably, he finds ways to survive. And you always wonder who in the crew brings lunch to him, because he's eating the most disgusting and awful things that he finds under the ground or on a tree, or he kills himself. But he survives. He gives lessons on how to survive in perilous situations. But he said some people, usually in a pretty negative way, call faith a crutch. And while true, a crutch does help you stand, there's so much more to faith than being a crutch. Bear refers to faith as his backbone. It's a stabilizing core which gives him support and flexibility. And this comes from a guy who broke his back in three places parachuting in South Africa. He was told he'd never walk again, but in 1998, at age 23, he became the youngest man to climb Mount Everest and also descend. What Bear says in his interview is how he discovered that faith is not a religion. Faith is a relationship with God. And when he is in the difficult places where everything is stripped away and very raw, and all the normal fluff that surrounds our lives is worth nothing, it's there, in that difficult place where the things you value come to the forefront of your consciousness. The point of the struggle is so that when life is normal, it compels us to hold on to the precious things you glimpse in the struggle. Today is the first Sunday of Lent, and our focus each Sunday on these next 5 weeks is to learn the Jesus way. Jesus says in John 14 that he is the way, the truth, and the life. And it's been said by Eugene Peterson and myself that in order to get the Jesus life, we need to do the Jesus truth in the Jesus way. And so as we think about what is the Jesus way, we're going to look at the passages and discover what Jesus is teaching us through what he models for us. Today, we're going to go with Jesus into the wilderness and where Jesus confronts the devil. It says in Mark, "And the Spirit immediately drove him out into the wilderness." I don't know if I put that up here next. Mark doesn't give details like Luke and Matthew about what the temptations actually were. But the way that Mark refers to it is it sounds like there were more than three temptations. It says he was tempted for 40 days. It was an ongoing temptation that Jesus faced in the wilderness. And Jesus taking 40 days in the wilderness before he begins his ministry, his 40 days kind of parallels the 40 years in the wilderness that the Israelites wandered. And in many ways, Jesus, his wilderness time was a redemptive redo of those 40 years that the people of Israel spent in the wilderness, because he faithfully endured temptation, danger, and fasting to model something for us so that we will follow in his steps. The wilderness is a place where Jesus is driven by his spirit to go. It's where he gets his backbone. Here Jesus has everything stripped away and he discovers what's most valuable. The most precious thing to Jesus is his relationship with his Father. Michael Card, who's a Christian artist, was writing a lot of songs in his life, and he spent many years of his life really reflecting on the entire biblical narrative, writing songs about the journey of the people of Israel and Jesus' life, death, and crucifixion, and the life of the church. And he wrote this song called In the Wilderness, and I want to play for you how the refrain goes, and maybe even if you catch on, you can sing along with me. It goes like this. In the wilderness, in the wilderness, he calls his sons and daughters to the wilderness, and he gives grace sufficient to survive any test. That's the painful purpose of the wilderness. Let's try singing it together. In the wilderness, in the wilderness, he calls his sons and daughters to the wilderness, and he gives grace sufficient to survive any test. And that's the painful purpose of the wilderness. So Jesus was there for 40 days being tempted by the devil to leave God, basically. Being driven into the wilderness seems odd for us. Why would we want to go there? Why would we want to go to that difficult place? But God calls his sons and daughters to the wilderness all the time. In Scripture, we see that the wilderness, which is basically a desert, it represents the space between, the between space, the space of testing, trial, learning, discovery, and transformation outside of the regular rhythms and norms of life. God knows it's not an easy place to be. The wilderness is where comforts are stripped away. It's where God's people come face to face with who they are and have become, and in the process come to know God in deeper and surprising ways. It's in the wilderness that Jacob wrestles with God, and he's given a new name, a new identity as Israel, meaning the one who strives with God. It's in that long wilderness journey of 40 years that the freed slaves of Egypt become a holy people under the covenant. It's in the wilderness that the prophet Elijah flees when persecuted from the corrupt King Ahab, seeking the voice and direction of God. Abraham is called to bring Isaac to a mountain in the wilderness. It's in the wilderness that Jesus is driven by the Spirit to be tested between his baptism and the beginning of his public ministry. It says in Mark 1, he was in the wilderness for 40 days, tempted by Satan, and he was with the wild beasts, and the angels waited on him. Luke 4 speaks about the specific temptations Jesus faced, and as I said, Mark seems to suggest that there were more than three. that the devil was constantly tempting him. The temptations we know Jesus faced were for self-provision, for power, for spectacle. And those are temptations Christians face today in various forms. Jesus is being tested here really to define himself apart from God. If you're the Son of God, throw yourself from the temple, the devil says. But he won't let go of his Father, and he uses the Word of God to combat these temptations. His identity is not in himself alone, not in his abilities or his status. His identity and the core of his is the core relationship he has with God. God is his backbone. I think most of us would tend to seek, or actually to not seek, going to the wilderness if we could get out of it. I think of a friend, Greg, who had two daughters. He loved to camp, and he wanted to have his family experience the joy of camping. And so he got everything together, his wife and his two daughters, and they were going to go on a great camp out. Well, on the way there, he had the tent, he had the gear, he had the food, he planned it all, but en route the car had problems and kind of broke down, so they were getting that fixed. And then the whole anxiety of why are we camping came up in the car. And finally, his older daughter, who was at her wit's end with the anxiety of what camping would be, just exclaimed to her dad, "Dad, we are not a camping family." And seeing that camping was causing such a turmoil for his family, he relented and checked into a hotel and ate out that night. A lot of people don't seek out adventure. They don't seek wilderness. But before you say, "I'm not a wilderness sort of person," realize that there is value in going into the wilderness. You don't actually go into actual wilderness to seek the wilderness. The purpose of the wilderness, metaphorically, is to confront your demons. And by doing so, by being tested, you find out that you can do it. What are tests for? If you think about tests like a school has fire drills, it's a test so that people know when there is an actual fire, that they know how to get out of the building safely and not to panic. Pilots do a lot of simulations when they fly an airplane. They don't practice dangerous maneuvers or emergency situations in the plane in the air. They do that in a simulator so that if they mess up, they don't die. Makes sense. Tests are given to strengthen us, to build up our confidence, knowing that we can overcome. Back to Bear Grylls, why a person willingly would want to keep putting himself in survival situations is puzzling, but he does it to test himself. And he does it to teach people so much of the time that we can see tests that are given to show us. I'm sorry, I lost my place here. He's tested so that he can teach people. He teaches people about the wilderness situations that he's in. So much of the time we see tests as sort of a negative. We see tests as being showing us where we're deficient or showing us, or basically the test is given so that we'll flunk. But if you think that all tests are bad, think again, because tests make us stronger and better and smarter, actually. Jesus' temptations are his flesh, his pride, his will, and Jesus is tempted to chart his own course apart from the Father. But he finds out he has a backbone to stand. James wrote, inspired by the Holy Spirit, which we heard read today, James says, "Blessed is anyone who endures temptation. Such a one has stood the test and will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him." No one says, when tempted, "I'm being tempted by God." For God cannot be tempted by evil, and he himself tempts no one. But one is tempted by one's own desire, being lured and enticed by it. Then when that desire is conceived, it gives birth to sin, and that sin, when it's fully grown, gives birth to death. Do not be deceived, my beloved, he writes. Paul writes about this truth in a little different way in his first letter to the Corinthians. I'd like to have you read that with me. Let's read together. No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. I want you to consider this verse and what it's actually saying, because there's a lot of people that interpret this by what it's not saying. I've heard a lot of people say, when they're in the midst of great trouble, God won't give me anything I can't handle. Have you ever heard that? And they base that statement on this verse. But is that what it says? I think a lot of life is things that we can't handle. Things beyond us, thing above us, things too hard for us. And what the verse is saying is that that God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond your strength, and he will provide a way out so that you'll be able to endure it. Now, there's a difference, I think, between temptation and testing. I want to distinguish them in this way. The one who is tempting you wants you to fail. That's a temptation. They want you to succumb to the temptation and fail. But a test, as I'm defining it today, is given because God knows you will succeed. And when you do succeed in a test, you'll have more confidence when you face the situation in real life. It's really interesting that the word here in Greek for temptation can also mean testing. So you could read this verse both ways. No temptation has overtaken you, or no testing has overtaken you. I really like that. I like that you can read it in both ways, because in the temptations, this verse said God gives us the strength to endure his tempting, the devil's tempting, and to provide a way out. And God also gives us the strength to pass any test. The wilderness is a time of testing. It's a time to point out, God doesn't put us in the wilderness to punish us. It's not to accentuate our absence of God. It's to strengthen us and give us backbone to draw near to God and know that God is here. Paul writes in his second letter to the Corinthians, that's putting tempting in there, this verse, let's read it together. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, and my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. Paul was at a really tough spot when he wrote that. We're not sure exactly what his thorn in the flesh is, but he saw even that difficulty as a gift of God's grace. Can you sing this with me again? In the wilderness, I gotta get the right key. In the wilderness, okay, wow. You guys can't even help me with this. It's like, in the wilderness, in the wilderness, he calls his sons and daughters to the wilderness, and he gives grace sufficient to survive any test. And that's the painful purpose of the wilderness. There's a line in that song that says, he gives grace sufficient to survive any test, and that's the painful purpose of the wilderness. The test makes us stronger. It gave Jesus the strength to combat the devil and hell itself. Bear Grylls says it's there in the difficult place where the things you value come to the forefront of your consciousness. The point of the struggle is that when life is normal, it compels you to hold on to the precious things that you glimpse in the struggle. So friends, there's purpose in the wilderness. There's purpose in the struggle. We're to hold on to God, our truest identity. We're to hold on to him, and because there is where we stand through the trials and temptations of our life, everything that life, our sinful self, and the devil throws at us. There in the wilderness, we also understand the best truth that God holds on to us. He will not bring us into a temptation under which we cannot stand. God will not let go of us. This is the Jesus way, that God is your backbone for life and to confront your demons and then succeed in that test. Would you pray with me? Lord, we probably don't think of wilderness as something that is full of grace. We probably would much rather avoid difficult times and difficult conversations with ourselves or with others. Lord, we thank you that you are calling us to a deeper place, a place where we can be with you alone, even in prayer, where we can have you speak to us, whereas, God, you strengthen Jesus in his temptations, Lord, that you would strengthen us in ours, to give us the grace sufficient to survive any test, and to remind us that no temptation has seized us except what is common to other people and us, but that you will provide a way out and give us strength to stand. Yes, Jesus, strengthen our backbone, strengthen our faith, and thank you for these days of Lent where we are walking with you, and today we walk to face the things that confront us. In Jesus' name, amen.